and 2230 UTC were also available online at voanews.com.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is now set for the knockout round of 16 at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Egypt. Let's take a look at the eight matchups. On Friday, Morocco will meet Benin, and Uganda will go against Senegal. Both of those games are in the capital, Cairo. On Saturday in Alexandria, Egypt, we have what's shaping up as a very spicy encounter between neighbors and African football powers, Nigeria and Cameroon. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon are the defending Nations Cup champions, and they're bidding for a sixth African title overall. The Super Eagles of Nigeria, meanwhile, are three-time African champions with their last Nations Cup trophy in 2013. In the second match on Saturday, the Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record seven Nations Cup titles, will host Bafana Bafana of South Africa in Cairo. Now, the Pharaohs were one of three teams to finish group play with three victories and the maximum 9 points. The two others, also from North Africa, are the Atlas Lions of Morocco and the Desert Foxes of Algeria. The Algerians will next be in action on Sunday in Cairo, where they'll go against Guinea. Earlier Sunday, surprise package Madagascar, making its Nations Cup debut, hopes to keep its Cinderella story going when it plays the Democratic Republic of Congo in Alexandria. Round of 16 play will wrap up on Monday, July 8th, with matches in Suez and Ismailia, Egypt. In Suez, Mali will meet Ivory Coast, and in Ismailia, Ghana will take on Tunisia. The Black Stars of Ghana beat Guinea-Bissau on Tuesday 2-0 to top Group F with 5 points from three matches. Jordan Ayew and Thomas Partey had second-half goals for the Black Stars in Suez. In Tuesday's other Nations Cup results, Mali edged Angola 1-0 on a goal by Amadou Haidara in the 37th minute in Ismailia. And the matches between Benin and Cameroon and Mauritania and Tunisia ended in scoreless draws. In more Nations Cup news, Ghana and Newcastle United winger Christian Atsu will miss the rest of the tournament because of a hamstring injury. Atsu suffered the injury about 15 minutes into Ghana's goalless draw with Cameroon on Saturday in Ismailia, Egypt. The 27-year-old Atsu has returned to England for treatment. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the Women's World Cup football tournament in France. But first, these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I will put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night from Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And again, my Voice of America colleague Shaka Sali will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 hours UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to the Women's World Cup football tournament in France, England and the defending champion USA engaged in a thrilling semifinal Tuesday in Lyon, where the Americans emerge victorious. Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel is here to bring us the latest Women's World Cup news. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Yesterday, the United States took out England in a semifinal classic that came down to the wire. Despite being the tournament favorites, the United States had faced stiff tests in its first two knockout stage matches, edging Spain and France by one goal each. In contrast, England entered Tuesday's showdown hot, having crushed Cameroon and Norway in three-goal shutouts. Combine that with England and the U.S.'s historic rivalry, and we were set for a great football match. And it did not disappoint. The United States continued their trend of hot starts as Christian Press headed a pass from Tobin Heath into the back of the net in the 10th minute. The Americans have scored in the first 13 minutes in every one of their World Cup games so far. But England's Ellen White booted in the tying goal from close range just 9 minutes later. Then Alex Morgan, who was celebrating her 30th birthday, broke the tie with another header for the Americans. She celebrated her goal against the rival English by pretending to sip a cup of tea, pumping up an already thrilled crowd. And this was just the first half action. As England fought to tie things up again late in the game, they drew a penalty kick that could have brought them level. But American goalkeeper Alyssa Naeher made a brilliant save to keep the United States ahead for good. To add insult to injury, England's Millie Bright earned herself a red card in the 86th minute that left her team a woman down in the closing moments. Let's hear some of the reactions from American and English fans who watched the exciting match in France.
Awesome. Awesome game, back and forth. England was a great protagonist. They did an excellent job giving us good foe to fight against. So, yeah, that's where we're at. And so I totally think the U.S. is going to win this entire thing, but that was our last good contest. The next round, I think, is going to be easier, actually. So
that was the game changer. That let's hear for number one. She did great. It was unbelievable. Yeah, she's our new hero.
Oh, yes. It was especially nerve-wracking doing the penalty because I thought that the woman, I can't remember who took it, but I thought she was going to score. And then Alyssa Nair saved us there. So we ended up with a good 2-0, or 2-1.
Yeah, very disappointing, but we're really proud of them. They played fantastic. Well, both teams. Women's football's come on so much. One team has to lose. A bit disappointed. But they'll be back in 4 years' time, and I think they'll clinch it then. But no, very proud of them. Great football. It's come on so much.
The United States will take on the winner of today's semifinal between Sweden and the Netherlands in Sunday's final. England will drop to the third-place playoff, where they will play the loser of Sweden versus the Netherlands on Saturday. The second semifinal provides just as much intrigue as the United States versus England did, thanks to Sweden's surprise run through the knockout rounds. Many wrote Sweden off after they were soundly defeated by the United States in the group stage. But after dispatching Canada in the round of 16, the Swedes pulled off a massive upset over Germany. Germany was considered arguably the biggest threat to take out the top-ranked Americans, but Sweden sent them home early thanks to a dramatic comeback from a goal down. Stina Blackstenius had been key for Sweden, scoring the winning goal in their last two games. The Netherlands have advanced through the World Cup a bit more quietly than the Swedes, but they are a balanced squad and still a threat to win it all. There doesn't seem to be a clear favorite in this semifinal battle, so you want to tune in to what could be a close, hard-fought match.
Ryan, the golden boot is given to the player who scores the most goals in the Women's World Cup. Who are the leading contenders so far for this award?
Currently, Ellen White and Alex Morgan are tied for the lead with 6 goals each, after scoring once in the semifinals apiece. American Megan Rapinoe is not far behind with 5 goals for herself, but Rapinoe didn't play in the match against England due to a hamstring injury. She'll need to be healthy for the final if she wants to contend for the Golden Boot.
Thanks, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Athletics Federation of Nigeria has invited 48 home-based athletes for camping to prepare for the All-African Games. The 12th All-African Games will take place from August 19th to August 31st in Rabat, Morocco. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye reached the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria Sunday at Eleye.
Well, so far so good. The Nigerian athletes, the performance has been on the rise because we have athletes like Divine Oduduru, who is actually doing his own thing in his own way in the 100 and 200 meters, which in the 60 meters also, he's dominated the indoors and the outdoors for this season. And of course, we have somebody like athletes Ishakiri Orishe with 10.07 that he did in Germany last week. We also have Raymond with a 10.02, which he also did in the collegiate in the U.S. We have also athletes like Ese Brume out there. We have someone like Cheye Ogunlewe, formerly with a performance of 10.2. Now he has cut it down to 10.11, 10.11. And then we have the likes of Favour Ophili, the young chap on the block. She's actually 17 now with 52 seconds in the 400 meters. So you agree with me that Blessing Okagba is back and to our winning ways, which she just won the Diamond League in Rabat to a 10.02, which is also a very good performance for Nigeria.
How is the Athletics Federation of Nigeria preparing these athletes for the All-African Games and the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games?
Well, to be honest with you, we're looking beyond just the All-African Games, and then we're, of course, getting set for Tokyo 2020, and that is why the rate at which Nigerian athletes have gained a scholarship into a lot of universities, schools in America is on the rise right now. And the Federation will also do our own best in trying to expose more of these athletes to competitions, because the best form of training is competition, because in competitions, that's where you get to know if you're really doing something right or you're actually getting it right or wrong. So we have agreed that we'll do more of exposing our athletes to the international stage where they can actually compete and feel the pulse of what other big athletes are feeling.
What is the Federation also doing to ensure that these athletes do not dump Nigeria or that they are not poached by other countries to compete for them in major international events?
Well, you know, it's just like the case of the horse and the owner. Of course, the owner can actually force the horse to the river, but cannot force the horse to drink. We as a Federation, we're doing more of the talking, and we're trying to see how we can improve in the welfare of the athlete. But of course, the Federation cannot do it all alone. You know, this concerns the country. This is Nigeria we're talking about here. So we're also begging for support from the government to look inward at this federation and say, look, we know you're about the second biggest federation in Nigeria, and then athletics is a very important sport in terms of medals. The packages and benefit and welfare of athletes is part of what we have been penciling down to see how that can keep encouraging them and enticing them. And of course, we also let them understand that there's also life after athletics, because when they nationalize or change their nationality to represent other country, at the end of the day, after they finish competing, they are abandoned. Then what next after that? So we're trying our best to educate them in those regards too.
That's Sunday Adeleye, the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. Sunday spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, there were more surprises at Wimbledon on Tuesday, as we hear now from the AP's Chris Bowers.
Another day of upsets, but not quite as dramatic as the first days. The form player to go out was the French Open runner-up Dominic Thiem, and giving everything in the clay court season may have undone the Austrian for the grass, as he went out to the revitalised American Sam Querrey. Maria Sharapova led by a set in 5-2, but was clearly out of condition and lost to Pauline Parmentier, while the champion 2 years ago, Garbiñe Muguruza, was also out of sorts in her defeat to the Brazilian qualifier, Beatriz Haddad. Chris Bowers, Wimbledon.
Thanks, Chris. The Australian Ash Barty began her Wimbledon campaign with a 6-4, 6-2 victory over Chinese opponent Zheng Saisai. It was Barty's first match as the top-ranked women's player in the world. Afterwards, Ash was asked if she considers herself a role model.
I think I try and be a role model by just setting the example of when I play. I don't try and do anything extra. If I can make a difference into one person's life, it would be incredible. But for me, it's just about trying to go about my business the right way. I'm very lucky to have family, and my parents in particular brought me up in a very respectful and certain way, and I try and live by that every single day, regardless whether I'm on the tennis court or just living my everyday life. So I think for me, I just try and do the best that I can every single day. If that can inspire any person around the world, that'd be incredible.
Ash Barty won her first major singles title earlier this year at the French Open. She says she's delighted to start Wimbledon by playing on a refurbished Court 1.
Yeah, beautiful court. Have some really nice memories from juniors playing my final on that court. Played, I think, a double semi with Case on Court 1, so we have some really, really nice memories. But I walked out there and was kind of fangirling for a minute. It was really nice, and just a beautiful court to start on.
That's the Australian Ash Barty, the new world number one in women's tennis, speaking after her first match at Wimbledon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's welcome back Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Ryan, I heard that two tennis stars are teaming up to go for a doubles title at Wimbledon. Can you tell our VOA listeners about this surprising pairing?
Sonny, most of the attention at Wimbledon goes to the singles tournaments, but all eyes will be on mixed doubles when Andy Murray and Serena Williams take the court together on Friday. Murray, one of the best British players ever, will take center stage in London as he plays in his first major since hip surgery. Murray has won three Grand Slams in singles, including two titles at Wimbledon. He'll form one of the most star-powered doubles pairs in recent memory as he teams with Serena Williams, owner of 23 Grand Slam singles titles and 16 Grand Slam doubles titles. Murray and Serena will open their mixed doubles tournament Friday against Alexa Guarachi and Andreas Mies. Serena is also still alive in the singles tournament after defeating Italian Giulia Gatto-Monteconi yesterday. A few other Wimbledon updates from today. Three-time major champion Stan Wawrinka was eliminated in a five-set classic by 21-year-old American Riley Opelka. Opelka, who stands at 6 feet 11 inches, or 183 centimeters, beat the experienced Swiss player by a scoreline of 7-5, 3-6, 4-6, 6-4, and 8-6. Women's eighth seed Alina Svitolina was on the ropes against Russian Margarita Gasparian, down a set and a break. But Gasparian was forced to retire from the match due to injury, allowing Svitolina to advance. Also advancing were former Wimbledon finalist Milos Raonic in straight sets and former French Open champion Simona Halep. That's all I have on the tennis front. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. A victim of domestic abuse while pregnant and now a mother of two, Miriam Gutierrez is a champion Spanish boxer and an elected official whose goal is to knock out those who challenge women's rights. VOA's Arash Arabasadi tells us more.
In March of 2019, at a casino north of Madrid, boxer Miriam Gutierrez won another fight in a life scarred from battles. Pregnant at the age of 21, Gutierrez's then partner beat her so badly that she gave birth prematurely.
I was 8 months pregnant, about to give birth. He hit my face in such a way that he broke several bones and I fell to the ground. The first thing that came to my mind as a person about to become a mom was, does my daughter still have a heartbeat?
Her daughter did have a heartbeat, and Gutierrez's boxing coach told her to focus on family and fight her way out of bad times.
He grabbed my daughter and told me that what I had to do was get changed, wrap my hands, and begin training. That was 13 years ago.
In those 13 years, Gutierrez, her mouthpiece engraved with the hashtag gender violence, became a European boxing champion, an elected official in a Madrid suburb, and a motivational speaker.
If you go partying, I tell you from my heart, go partying, have a good time, drink or whatever. But you have to be responsible for the person next to you.
Being a role model, she says, still feels surreal.
People say to me, look what you've achieved. I identify with you. I'm starting to get up and fight back. I swear, I think what a beautiful thing they tell me they're doing.
Gutierrez, the political newcomer whom training partners call the Queen, says she plans to fight for women's rights in office while continuing to fight for a world title in the ring. Rashi Arbasadi, VOA News.
The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Voice of America, VOA.
This is VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, that Twitter handle @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo by Reuters photographer Benoit Tessier of Alex Morgan, who was named player of the match on Tuesday evening at that Women's World Cup semifinal match between the USA and England. As Ryan Handel mentioned earlier in the show, the USA beat England 2-1 and is now only one victory away from a fourth world title. And let's welcome back Ryan once again. Alex Morgan, Ryan, what do you think she means to the USA team in their bid for another World Cup trophy?
Well, Alex Morgan is the leader of this USA squad. And not only does she add offensive firepower to the team, as you can see by the 6 goals she scored in this World Cup, but she can motivate the squad to victory. Her and Megan Rapinoe are the strong leaders of this squad, and that's why they've made it this far in the World Cup.
We'll have to wait and see whether Rapinoe plays in the final on Sunday in Lyon, France. Once again, the big Women's World Cup story on this Wednesday evening. Sweden will play the Netherlands in the second semifinal, also in Lyon. And that wraps up the July 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Until the stars began to form, the only atoms in the early universe were mostly of hydrogen, some helium, and trace amounts of lithium and beryllium. Scientists theorize that about 100,000 years after the Big Bang, elements of helium and hydrogen atoms formed the first molecule in the universe, helium hydride. While many think the molecule should exist in parts of our universe, it was never detected until recently. In a new study published in the journal Nature, scientists say they were able to detect the signature of the first molecule in the universe in a planetary nebula 3,000 light-years away near the constellation Cygnus. The discovery was made by the scientists who used sophisticated instruments that were aboard NASA's Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy, or SOFIA, the world's largest airborne observatory. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast.
Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall. Iran's president.